And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second hour of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Again, our topic is, what's the worst that can happen? What is the worst that has happened in your relationship? Do you need some guidance? Do you need some help? Do you need some assistance? Do you need some prayer? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. Now we're going to take a look at our second favorite book, and that's Facebook. Hopefully you have liked us already. Go to Facebook.com, hit the like button on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Hey, Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
All right. Well, we want to say thank you so much for all those who get on Facebook and like us and stay connected with us. A few minutes ago, we posted the question, what if you married a pedophile? And we want you to give us a call, 855-454-5905. And Shannon Robinson said, why would I do that? Of course, you know, the assumption is being made that we would marry someone without knowing.
Without knowing.
You know? But Aisha says, would that be grounds for a divorce? Mm. And I think, look, if you think that that is a way to break that covenant, of course. I mean, let me tell you, whether there are grounds or not, number one, you get far from that person, and then you base it on 1 Corinthians 7. What we've seen is if you need to divorce that person and stay alone for the rest of your life, to me, let me tell you, this is pretty intense. I mean, I've seen situations where people try to work it out, but the abuse has happened with their children. Mm. I mean, look, you protect those children above anything else. You know, Barbara Samuel says, get them help and prayer and keep them under surveillance. Hold them accountable for their actions, their past actions, to avoid any more. Guard the children. Expose the pedophile. All things are possible through Christ Jesus. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. Mm-hmm. And then Andrea says, oh, my goodness, we will surely be unmarried. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's kind of a heavy one there. If you want to chime in and you want to post your comments about what would happen if you found out you married someone who is a pedophile. Okay. And then also this one on a lighter note, because sometimes we keep it heavy, keep it real. Other times we just really want to encourage one another. Mm-hmm. And so I want to read just a few quick comments here from a few days ago. What is the nicest thing your spouse has done for you? Marilyn Valenta says, everything. God has blessed me with a man in tune with his wife. Ken Brown says, loving me unconditionally. I am very thankful. Thank God for Mr. Kenny Brown. Mm-hmm. Hector Pimentel says, she said yes and has been supporting me ever since. Tiffany, but not our Tiffany, this is Tiffany here, says, brought me a Barbie dream house as a Christmas gift 2 years ago. He remembered that on our first date, I told him that I always wanted one as a child, but my parents couldn't afford it. So thoughtful of him. Aww. And the list goes on and on and on. So again, if you want to encourage, you want to post what your spouse has done for you, something special, and you want to give them a shout out, you could also go to our Facebook page. All right. Go to Facebook.com/BeyondTheVows. You could also find us on our websites, praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com or the Praise site in Detroit.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's continue on here. We're going to go back to the phone lines.
All right. So let's go to an anonymous caller in Philadelphia calling in on line two. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right now. Good. What's your comment or question?
Well, my comment is just on the topic that you have today about the hardest thing that you've had to go through in your marriage. And mine, without a doubt, has been my husband changing his faith within 6 months of our marriage. He went from being a Christian to an Israelite, and it just has just caused so much confusion in our marriage. It's just crazy. As far as, like, you know, Sundays, they don't worship on a Sunday. They worship on Saturday. We're raising children. Mm-hmm. So it's very confusing to them. You know, they don't celebrate holidays. So, you know, every other Christmas, my children can celebrate. You know, that's our compromise. Every other Christmas, they can celebrate. And that's just so disheartening. Growing up in the faith that I did, I grew up Pentecostal. So, you know, I'm just at a point, I mean, it'll be 5 years this September. And, you know, I've been trying and I've been praying and trying to deal with it, but I just, you know, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Absolutely. Okay, well, a few things. Number one, a quick question for you. You're saying that he converted to Israelite. Are you talking about the Hebrew Israelites? They actually preach a lot of hatred, don't they?
They do. It's very, you know, I mean, even on his Facebook post, I mean, it's nothing but Christian bashing and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, I don't see the love. Where is the love in their faith? I just don't understand it, you know, and just to be, you know, he doesn't want our kids to go to church on Sunday, which is the day that I'm accustomed to worshiping. And, you know, that's the false Sabbath. And, you know, he tells our children that Jesus is bad because Jesus in their sense is the Greek word for Jesus, and his real name is Christ, and you know, God's real name is
I understand.
We have young children.
I'm very familiar with the Hebrew Israelites. As a matter of fact, a good story, a happy ending, is I actually had a good friend that was in our church who was married to a Hebrew Israelite, but she started praying and just decided that she was going to win him by her lifestyle, not preaching to him, and he ended up converting, and he's a Christian now. And so, and let me tell you, he will be the first one to say, listen, yeah, we preached a lot of hatred. I mean, I learned a lot, and they were very strong in the Old Testament, but they weren't, it wasn't about love. It wasn't about God. It was just about,
exactly.
I mean, it really, you just didn't see the love of Christ. I mean, hatred towards white people,
you know,
hatred towards Christians, like you said. But anyway, this is what you're going to have to do, though. The Bible does talk about making sure that you win your husband over not by your words, by your deeds, that you still have to be that wife. And it sounds like you're able to come up with some kind of compromise. It's still tough, but that every other Christmas, that I tell you, you're just gonna have to do a lot of praying. I mean, only God can change his heart. It's not like you married him while he was an Israelite, right? He converted later on.
No, yeah, it was about 6 or 7 months into our marriage.
And what was his reason? Was he always like, curious
always
or
searching, always, you know, learning about different religions and kind of always searching for, you know, a home. And that's just where he landed, wound up landing. So
Wow. Well, I tell you, so a good sign of caution, not so much for you at this point, but anyone who's out there and is about to get married. If your spouse or the person you're planning to marry, if they're not solid in what they believe, that's a huge warning sign. And I think that it, because you're saying they're searching, that means that they're not satisfied or feeling great about what they already believe. And so they're looking for something else. But in this case, my sister, it looks like you're going to have to carry your cross and be like Jesus, be the best wife that you can be.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your words. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Take care.
Be blessed.
All right.
Bye-bye. You know, really quickly, I want to read the scripture pertaining to her in First Peter chapter 3. It says, wives, in the same way, submit to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. First Peter 3, verse 1. So making reference to what I just said to her.
All right. Good stuff. So stay right there. We actually have to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to speak to a person in Michigan who is single, had a relationship with two men and both got married. But now they want to get back with her. We're going to find out more about that story and hear what Marcos has to say.
Oh, man, that love triangle stuff. All right.
And when Marriage Beyond the Vows continues, don't forget to give us a call. 855-454-5905. We'll be right back after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are on the topic of what is the worst that can or has happened in your relationship, and you need some advice on what to do. Now's a good time to call. 855-454-5905. Let's go to Virginia calling from Michigan in on line one. Hi, Virginia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. So tell us your story. What's your issue?
Okay, well, my issue is mainly I'm a single woman, and in my life I had two men in my life, and they both was in the churches being ministers. So they wanted to get married. I decided that I was not ready to get married at the time. So they did get married around the same time. Now they're not satisfied with the marriage situation that they're in. So now they're calling me constantly, wants to see me. I don't mind seeing them as a friend, but not an intimate friend. And they don't want to leave it like that. So I really need to know. I know the answer is that I just need to leave them alone. But they have been friends for a long time. And I don't want to go through any sin with this, because I really believe in that God gave you one man and one woman to share for a lifetime. So I don't know what the situation is that I should do.
Okay, a couple of things here. Virginia, right?
Yes.
You had relationships with these men. Were you sexually intimate with them?
Yes, I was.
Okay. All right, so number one, you started off with a very ungodly, very unstable right. foundation, all right? But things did not work out between these two men. And they ended up getting married to someone else, not you. They
right.
married someone
mm-hmm.
else. And now they're both calling you. Now, do they know each other?
No.
Okay, so these are separate situations. Were you dating them at the same time?
No.
Okay. So we were just wanting to get things clear. All right, so different men you've dated, they're both married now, and now they're calling you to get with you in a sexual way.
Right.
Okay, but you're saying you still talk to them. Now, I know you're saying they've been friends for a long time, but these are ungodly friends. I don't care if they go to church or whatever. I mean, number one, if you want to please God, why would you even want to be close to someone that's going to bring you down?
Right. That's true.
I mean, just thinking about that, like, you should be cutting these men off. And I would take it a step further, Virginia. I would say, listen, you're supposed to be married to your wife. If you don't stop calling me, I'm going to call your wife. And let them know what you're saying, because these guys need to repent and they need to face their sin. I mean, and you don't want to be a home wrecker and allowing the devil to use you to destroy a marriage or marriages.
Right. That's true. And that's what I think about. But in the same time, you know, and I do have to cut them off. And I realize that, you know, the relationship of just being friends. And my main thing to me is why a woman can't be a friend to a male without intimacy.
Well, you probably could, but a married man whose only intention of connecting with you is to have sex. I mean, that's not a pure friendship. You know, my wife and I have friends that are female, but my wife is in on those friendships. She knows. I mean, Tiffany Bacon, right next to me. She's a good friend. She invited me to a play, and my wife and I are going to play. It's not like, hey, we're hooking up secretly. Like, anything done in secret, anything that you have to be ashamed of, it's not from God. And so this is not just a friendship. They're trying to use you for sex.
Yes.
And they're trying to go outside of their marriage and want you. Don't allow yourself to even go there. I don't understand why you're giving them the time of day.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
You know, the Bible says flee from sexual immorality. Flee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Don't flirt with it. Don't flirt.
Okay.
All right.
And I am looking for a godly man. I have never been married, and I'm looking for someone to share my life with, but I haven't found that. You know, God hasn't presented that person to me.
All right. Well, Virginia, when you find him, don't sleep with him.
Okay.
All right. Until until you're married.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Virginia, thank you so much for calling us today.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
And do the right
thing.
Have
a blessed day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care. All right, let's speak with Michelle. She is calling in from Philadelphia. Michelle, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
I'm calling because I, it's, oh, God. Oh, I got married a year ago. I met this man that we knew each other as kids. We grew up together. And we got married, and like a year later, he really wanted to get married. And I married him because I loved him, but I also married him out of security. You know, he's a veteran. And I had a job, but I had lost my job, and I was on unemployment.
Okay.
And I was going through a lot of medical things. So he said, well, after we get married, then, you know, his insurance would take care of me. But after we got married, I found out none of that was true.
Okay.
A lot of things after that occurred where, you know, drugs came into play. My husband is in the room with me.
Okay, good.
I did explain to him that I was going to have this conversation because I thought maybe it would help us.
Okay, so you're both on. All right. What is the exact question you're asking?
Well, I don't know whether I want to stay in the marriage because, you know, there's been so much lies in the using the drugs and spending all the money. You know, when he touched me, I get a little. We don't have sex, and I don't know whether I pray and ask God, why is this happening? Like, help me to be able to love my husband.
Okay, I got it. Now I'm trying to get clear because you were saying that you married him because you loved him, but also for the security. He was
right.
A veteran. And then you said you lost your job. So I was trying to follow that. But it sounds like the real issue is you love your husband, but you don't want to tolerate the lifestyle he's living, which is the drugs and the abuse.
Yes.
Okay. And have you told him this?
Yes.
All right. Is he willing to get help?
Well, he go and then he stop. But he say that he's willing.
Does he want to get on the phone? I hear him back there.
Okay.
Ask him if he wants on the come on, talk to me.
You want to get on? He said he want to get on because he can hear him.
He's on here.
Okay. Hopefully she gets her husband on the phone.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Yeah, I was in the background. I'm willing. I want to make our marriage work because I didn't get married just for the sake of being married. I got married because I really love this woman, and I want to make our marriage work.
Okay. Well, let me ask you.
I know that a lot of things has happened in our marriage that caused our marriage to be the way it is now. And I'm trying to get some help. You know what I mean? Right now, what I'm saying is, after all these things, you know, I still, you know, the marriage still don't work, then what?
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What's your name, sir?
My name's Ernest.
Ernest. Your wife is saying that she is thinking about leaving you because you're using drugs. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Are you high right now?
No.
Okay, because I'm just trying to get clarity from what you're saying.
I haven't used in almost a week now. I'm trying to get myself together.
Okay. Well, good for you. Now, have you checked into a rehab?
I said a week.
All right, listen, don't be having arguments here while you're on the phone with me. I'm here trying to help you. All right. Well, Ernest, you haven't used in a week, but you want to get help. Have you checked yourself in somewhere?
No, I'm going. I start next week in an outpatient program I work for the city, and I don't want to lose my job.
Okay. Well, Ernest, I think you're heading in the right direction. What I want to encourage you, once I get off the phone, is for you and your wife to pray together, for you to hold firm, go into that rehab. When you come out of that rehab, you're going to need some help to bring your marriage together because you abusing the drugs have caused a lot of challenges in your marriage. But you're not really going to be able to deal with those things until you deal with the drug issue first. So once you come out of that rehab, how long are you? Is it an inpatient program?
No, it's an outpatient program.
Outpatient. All right. So you're going to start going next week.
Yeah.
Next week when?
Next this Thursday. I'll go for the initial interview on Thursday.
All right, Ernest, this is what I want to do. All right, I'm going to do this for you and for Michelle. When you, before you hang up the phone, I want to put you in contact with our producer, Larry. I want to give you my contact info, and I want to get your contact info, and I want to follow up about how it's going, all right? Because I believe that when you have an issue like this, what you need the most is the follow-up, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ernest, listen, stay strong. You said it's been almost a week. Stay strong. Thursday is almost here. Stay faithful. Get help for your, you know, with your drug addiction, and let's help you with the marriage as well.
Okay, because our anniversary is Monday.
All right, well, amen. But look, yeah, you've made.
I got married on my birthday, so our anniversary is Monday, the 15th.
Well, happy anniversary, man, and this is a great opportunity to start fresh.
Yeah.
Start off on the right foot, all right?
All right now.
Yeah. Ernest, thanks so much. Hold on, okay? Don't hang up.
All right.
Let's go to our next caller calling in from Detroit. We have Savannah on line 4. Savannah, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, Savannah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Fantastic. Okay, what's your comment or question?
My question is, did I consider myself marrying the wrong man?
Okay, well, why are you saying that?
Because I married a man, okay? I married my husband in 95. I was with my husband for 3 years before we got married.
Okay.
Shortly after we got married, my husband had an affair and made a child. At the same time, I was pregnant. I didn't know this until after our babies were born.
Okay.
Okay. I dealt with it, okay? I dealt with the issue. My husband started using drugs. Okay. Really bad.
Okay.
My husband sold everything in my home. One day my husband came home. I was breastfeeding my baby. He pulled a shotgun on me, pulled the trigger, because I wouldn't give him $200.
Wow.
I stayed with this man, and I put this man in the recovery center 6 times. Mm. I loved him, my husband, and I made a promise to not him, just him. I made a promise to God.
Sure.
And I tried to work on my marriage, and I did everything. But it just wasn't working. And I got a divorce.
Okay.
I've been celibate for 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so lonely. And I pray every day. I pray every day. And I'm so faithful. And I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes I want to mate. And I know I got a divorce. And I know I'm not supposed to get married again.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I just don't know what to do.
Where's your husband now, or your ex-husband?
He's remarried.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
All right.
And he's back out in the street on drugs again.
Wow. Well, here's the thing. And this is what, believe it or not, Savannah, right? We, among marriage counselors and ministers, I think it's really hard to make a clear decision. Okay, what's allowed and what's not allowed when it comes to divorce, right? There are some scriptures that we can base it on. But at the end of the day, it seems like there is not, like, we don't live under the old law, right, where the commandments were given. The New Testament gives us a lot of freedom. What I read from 1 Corinthians 7 is that if you divorce your husband, unless it was marital unfaithfulness, but you divorced him like you did because of his drugs, because of his lifestyle, was he unfaithful then?
Yes, he was unfaithful. He tried to kill me. He pulled shotgun.
No. I'm not saying that. No, I heard that. I heard that loud and clear. The man was losing his mind and tried to kill you. But was he sleeping around with other women?
Yes.
Okay, so you can divorce someone because he was unfaithful. There's no reason why, from what I read in the scriptures, that you can't remarry. You can't reconcile with him. He's married to someone else. And why would you want to reconcile with him? He's been unfaithful. So why are you not free to marry?
I don't see it. I know in the Bible it says, you know, once I got married, to my understanding, I can only be married to that one man.
But what about what Jesus says in Matthew 5 about unless it's marital unfaithfulness?
Yeah.
It's different. See, if you would have told me your husband had a drug issue and you left them for that reason, and then you divorced him, and you can reconcile, but you choose not to, but you want to marry someone else, that's another story. But if you're telling me he's moved on, he's still using drugs, he's married to someone else, you left him because of everything he's done, including being unfaithful, then why aren't you free to remarry? I want to encourage you. Read those scriptures for yourself. Matthew 5 is where Jesus says about, he talks about divorce. 1 Corinthians 7 is where Paul and God himself talks about the very things that are allowed and not allowed. So, all righty.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Savannah.
All right. Take care. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We still have some time for you to call in and comment or get some answers to your questions about the worst thing that has happened in your relationship. So give us a call, 855-454-5905. We have Bill on the line from Michigan with a comment. Bill, good morning, live on the air.
Well, good morning, Tiffany, and good morning, Marcos. God bless both of you.
Thank you, Bill.
First time calling. I enjoy your program so much and have been listening since you guys have been on the air here. I wanted to comment on what you've been saying. Earlier you were talking about, I think you asked Tiffany how do you properly vet somebody and understand or know enough about them before you get married. That could be something that we all have to deal with. The Bible tells us in the pastoral epistles, and I can't think exactly where it is. I want to say in Timothy. But the word of the Lord says, some men's sins are open beforehand. Others follow after the judgment. And I take that to mean that there are some things that we will never know because they follow after the judgment. So then it seems that the solution that is needed is, and I know that this is the ideal because most of the time we don't do this, but we've got to keep it spiritual. Since marriage was created by God and ordained by God, we have instances in Scripture where God brought a man to a woman or a woman to man, and there was no sin involved, there was no lust involved, there was complete surrender to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit did the work. For instance, when God made Eve for Adam, he brought Eve to Adam. When Isaac was comforted after his mother Sarah's death, the servant had brought Rebecca from Laban's house. When Ruth was given to Boaz, they slept on the threshing floor all night long, and there was no lust involved. It was something supernatural that the Spirit of God was doing.
Sure. And I'm sorry, Bill, let me interject real quick. The scripture you were making reference to is 1 Timothy 5:24.
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy, I don't know why I'm focused on Corinthians. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. And I tell you, Bill, I've been to funerals, and I've known of many situations like that where someone lived their whole lives with sin that no one knew about until the funeral, and then the mistress and their kids show up to the funeral.
That's right.
So, I mean, sin will find you out at some point, right? You won't always know. However, I think what we were trying to tell Tiffany, and you making kind of making reference to this, is sometimes you know. There are sometimes you will never know, right? And you could only do your best. But there are times where you know, and yet you decide to ignore the signs.
Absolutely, and this is where we have a problem, because then the issue becomes more of something that's some character issue that's going on in the flesh rather than us using good judgment. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, it is very, very important that we make it up in our hearts and in our minds to keep it spiritual.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Bill, thank you so much, and we appreciate you listening to us
and
calling
God bless
in.
You so much, my brother and Sister Tiffany. I enjoy you all so much.
All right, Bill. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and you have
thank
a blessed
you.
Day.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to an anonymous caller in Philadelphia. Good morning, caller. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good.
We're doing blessed and highly favored, right?
That's and that's just what I was going to say. I'm calling because my first marriage, I've been married twice. And my first husband, I'm sure, was a pedophile, but I didn't know that until I became pregnant. And he told me that if the child was a girl, he was going to be the first person to sleep with her.
What?
And I left.
Hold on a second. While you were pregnant, he said if your child, which was his child, if
yes.
it were a girl, that he would be the first one to sleep. I mean, what did you say to that? I mean, amen, you left. But what in the world was he referring to?
That if the child was a girl, he was going to have sex with her.
Now, did you confront, like, what, are you sick? Or, I mean, what's going on?
I asked him if he was sick. He told me he wasn't, that he was very serious about it. There was argument. He was physically abusive. So I left.
Wow.
I didn't feel like I got a divorce, and I didn't feel like I couldn't marry again. I just think I made a bad choice the second time because he was physically abusive.
Oh, wow.
And I left again. So that was when I was in my 20s, and I had children from both those marriages, but I haven't married since then, and I'm 65. And I prayed to God that I be receptive enough to want to believe in a man enough and to be open enough to even start a relationship.
Well, look, number one, I think you're making reference to the first husband wanting to sleep with this child if it were a girl. I mean, that's just crazy. And so we commend you for, you know, putting your foot down and saying there's no way we're going to even take a gamble here. Well, I'm out of here. So amen for that. However, I want to address something. You're saying you in both of these relationships, you were in, basically they were abusive. Do you think there's something that you've had to learn in the way you're choosing these men? Like, are they showing you any signs?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I totally agree. I think I married both of them because I thought they needed me. And I never looked at what my needs were. I am from an abusive childhood myself, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I've been working on my issues and praying about my issues from that situation.
Well, let me tell you this. What good for you to be able to see that there are some things you have to learn. Like, you're not taking the victim mentality where, like, oh, I don't know what went wrong. I thought these were great men. Like, you knew there was something wasn't right, but your whole heart behind it was they needed you. You just wanted to be a great help, which is never a good situation because you have to value yourself as well. I mean, a marriage is a give and take, but if someone is not bringing anything to the table or you're doing all of the giving in the relationship, you're setting yourself up for failure. So I just want to encourage you, look, keep growing. I don't know what God has in store for you, but I believe even your testimony and what you're sharing, I hope and I believe that there are people listening right now who can kind of take that warning before they make the decisions to get married and be in a situation like the ones you were in.
Yes.
So,
and you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you so much. And look, keep growing, keep sharing your testimony.
And thank you for being there.
Amen. I'll be blessed.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to an anonymous caller in New Jersey online, too. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. What's your comment or question?
Yes, I have a question about remarrying. I was previously married, and at that time I wasn't saved. I cheated on my husband. But we continued into the relationship. Of course, you know, he rebelled against me, and he started to cheat on me. after I gave my life to the Lord, I was single from I was celibate from that time, that point on. At the time of our divorce, he was living with another woman. He was living in the state of Georgia with another woman. I was living here in New Jersey. I would like to know, under those circumstances, am I free to remarry?
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. First of all, what do you want to do?
I would like to. I'm kind of up in the air about it right now, but I am considering it.
Okay. Well, number one, I'm sorry. It was kind of a trick question. I mean, I think ultimately our heart and our desire needs to be to want to please God. Because sometimes we want something and God is like, no, that maybe that's not what you really want, but we want it anyway, and God will let us have it. And that's not always the best thing. You know, we should really be able to trust God. It's easier said than done. However, I'm just going to give you, this is my personal opinion. I mean, I base my advice from the Bible.
Okay.
But there are some things that are absolutely open to interpretation. You can take this, you know, for yourself, but you have to study it out and make your own decision. But this is what I believe and what I will share. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. All right.
Okay.
So what does that mean? That I personally believe that there are a lot of these situations that the Bible teaches us that are really for those who are trying to live the Christian life. So meaning in your previous life, you were unfaithful to your husband was unfaithful to you, that marriage fell apart. It doesn't, personally, I don't believe it makes you bound to not being able to remarry. However, your next marriage is going to have a very different standard. Number one, you got to be equally yoked. You got to make sure he's a Christian and you're a Christian and that your marriage is based on the principles of the Bible. And in that case, if you were to do that again, then you will be bound to what the scriptures say, that if you divorce your husband or you're unfaithful, then you cannot remarry. And if you do, you're in sin.
Okay.
All right. That again, this is how I read it. I believe the Bible lets you start fresh. You're forgiven. You're a new creation in the eyes of God. These are mistakes you've made in the past. You know, again, we can... People can argue these. You have to make your own decision. You're going to have to face God. But ultimately, I believe if you're trying to please God and you believe you're a new creation, that your new foundation is the Bible now, that you will have a very different marriage than you did the first time around.
Yes, and I am trying to please God. That was my very reason for calling. And my interpretation of that, of the scriptures, was also just as yours, is that I would be free to marry, but I did want to have confirmation first. And the person that I am considering remarrying is a Christian. So,
and just make sure and really count the cost. I would encourage you to have premarital counseling to really do things right, because there's no getting it wrong again. Your excuse before is like, you can say you were ignorant, you didn't have God in your life.
Exactly.
Now you don't. Now this is, you're making this vow before God and before men, and you will have to give an account to God for this, because you can't plead ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know now, and you know what the scriptures say. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye. Take care. Let's come to, before we go to this caller, we do have a few minutes left. So here's the number, 855-454-5905. Let's go to Michael calling in from Philadelphia on line 4. Michael, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. Good morning, Mikado. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much. So, Michael, what is your comment or question for us today?
Okay, first I would like to offer a public apology to my wife. She called in earlier. Her name's Tamika. And I've been unfaithful over 8 years of marriage. I'm sure you guys have heard that I was caught cheating in my bedroom.
Did you the one that she took the pictures?
Absolutely.
Okay, she caught you with the picture. Okay, I got it.
Yes. I'd like to say I wasn't totally forthcoming in our marriage for years. I would like another chance. We've been talking and trying to find a different way. We weren't living in a godly manner for years. I'd say throughout our whole relationship, we would go to church from time to time, but it wasn't, we weren't following his word.
Okay.
We weren't living the righteous way, I would say. And, you know, after after she caught me and, wanted a divorce and wants a divorce, and she's been going back and forth with, I know she loves me and I love her, but...
Michael, let me interject for a minute. First of all, she had mentioned that you had been unfaithful numerous times. And what were you thinking the time you got caught when you took pictures, you're in your own bedroom? I mean, talking about defiling the marriage bed, I mean, that's like literally what you did. And it's almost like, I mean, did you want to get caught? I mean, what were you thinking, taking these pictures? And
you know what I kind of related to isn't something, and I've said this to her numerous times before, in our conversations, that I kind of, it's like with the Michael Vick situation when he got caught with the dog fighting, and the Lord said, you know what, Mike, I'm going to take all this over. I'm going to take you away from everything that you have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit you right here. You know, and he put him in jail, and he had to reflect in with everything that he's lost. And how he was going to build that back up. And that's just kind of how I would like, because, yes, I had cheated on her in the past. Excuse me. And these are some of the arguments that we've had even previously, and I know that now. I would always say, yes, because I talked to a woman over the phone, I wasn't cheating with her. Mm-hmm. But again, that is cheating. That's emotionally cheating on your wife. I get that now. Reading, and you guys had really opened my heart and open my mind the previous month, listening to you guys' podcast, reading the Bible, mm-hmm. Reading some scriptures, and it's opened me up a little bit, I'm not going to say a little bit, a lot more now, and I'm being more communicative now.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You got caught. When did this happen? When did you get caught?
About a month and a half ago.
A month and a half. Have you cut that relationship off?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. Well, Michael, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, we're running out of time. You guys are local here to the Philadelphia area, correct?
Yes.
All right. I want us to reach out to you. I don't know if you know this, but I offer marriage counseling, and I would love to be able to get with you and your wife. Even just initially to just kind of make an assessment, talk about this on a deeper level. But I want to give you that opportunity, okay? So I want you to stay on the line. Our producer, Larry, would take your info, and I would also give you our information. You call my office, set up an appointment for you and your wife so that we can talk about this more.
Okay.
All right, because it sounds like you're going to need some help. I appreciate your humility. That's a huge leap of faith for you to call and say, you know what, I really want to work on this. I got caught. I was stupid. I was, unspiritual, whatever. But there's still a whole nother process that you're going to have to go through. So,
absolutely.
But Michael, I appreciate you calling, and you and your wife Tamika will be in our prayers for sure.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
All right, and don't go anywhere. Just hold on, and you'll be able to talk to Larry.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, we want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the program again this week. We really appreciate you listening. Don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com and look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. We also want to say thank you to our producer in Detroit, Carrie Mitchell, and our producer in Charlotte, Ron Holland, and our producer right here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you all for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We will catch you next time on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Bye-bye.